مبارک تجھے وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأثم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه الأخاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before we start our talk proper, we will just briefly translate and give a little explanation of these beautiful poems that were said in the praises of Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of Madinatul Munawwara, the adab and etiquette of there, by our great and honorable illustrious Sheikh Arif Billah, Rumi of our time, Mujaddid of this era, Tabriz, the second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'ah. Titled also so beautiful, Ya Subhi Medina, Ya Shami Medina. This morning of Medina, this evening of Medina. That is, a person places himself in Medina and looking at the beautiful, especially after Fajr Namaz, when you come out of the Haram, you want to go to Baqi, or you are going to your hotel and you see the beautiful sunrise there, the crimson in the sky, the breeze of Medina. It is really something out of this world. And if you place yourself now there, or the evenings of Medina, especially just before Maghrib, when you are coming to the Haram, and how the whole environment is there, everyone going to Haram Sharif, and the Allahu Akbar, the biggest attraction, Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present there, and the Anwarat of Barakat, even today, are 100% intact there. And here in Madinatul Munawwara, where Allah's rahmat from above, Allah's rahmat is descending on Rosa and Mubarak, and by the barakat of it, on the whole of Medina Sharif. And then all the people continuously, there are millions of people sending durood on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the malaika are bringing in that duroods. As our great friend Arif Billah Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayhi said once, somebody saw him outside the Medina looking at Khidra, Gumbat al-Khidra, and asked him, "What are you looking?" "I'm seeing all the planes coming in, all the duroods which the people are bringing, sending, and the malaika bringing that durood." So from around the world, the amount of duroods that are coming there, from on top Allah's rahmat that is coming there, what a place Madinatul Munawwara. Ye Subhi Medina, Ye Shami Medina, Mubarak Tujhe Ye Qiyami Medina. Very fortunate, very blessed are you that Allah has given you to stay here in Madinatul Munawwara. Whether you are on a 3-day transit visit, whether you have gone for 1 day, whether you have gone for 2 weeks or 1 month, or whether you are living in Madinatul Munawwara, very fortunate is that person who stays. Allah has blessed him with of Madinatul Munawwara. These are such places, like I usually should say, by the fazl of Allah, when I should go to Karachi to the Khanqah, and my Hazrat should also ask, "For how long have you come?" Friends also used to ask, I say, yeah, a whole lifetime is very little, and one moment is a great blessing from Allah. The little you get also is very great, and a whole lifetime is also too little. Then what to say of Madinatul Munawwara? Whatever time you get, Bhala jaane kya jaamu meenaye aalam. How can anyone in the world know what is enjoyment? Jaamu meena, those people who are addicted to their bottle, alcoholics, and they pouring and they drinking and they feel we out of this world. What they know what is enjoyment? Those people, tera kaif e khush kharam e Madina. Your condition, you who are the fortunate dweller of Medina, you are the fortunate person to visit Madinatul Munawwara. What enjoyment! But this all really is for that person who has prepared himself, who have gone to the lovers of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stayed in their company and developed the love of Madinatul Munawwara. In one poem, Hadrat says, Ya Jibal al-Haram, Ya Jibal al-Haram. What to say of that person who loves the mountains of the Haram, then of the Haram itself, and of the Kaaba Sharif, and of Rauza-e Mubarak. So if you stay in the company of such people, then that will rub off on you. Otherwise, it's just a matter of booking tickets, booking hotels, and going for a tour, and nowadays, na'uzubillah, taking photos, etc., and then coming back, we went to Medina Sharif. And what we came with all this, the shopping, our bags are full with the shopping that we have done there. It looks like we have perhaps gone to Dubai, or we went to China, or we went to Paris or Hong Kong. Perhaps we were not in Medina. It was just the name of Medina. So the person who went prepared, he will enjoy it. And not when he goes there. Yeah, he will get that enjoyment. His heart's condition will be different. Yeah, just at the thought of Medina Sharif. Otherwise, a person stays a whole month also, but he doesn't get that enjoyment and he does not get that benefit. Medina ki galiyon mein har ek qadam par. And one of the ways and necessities, etiquettes, respects to get this benefit is that on every step, in every gully of Madinatul Munawwara, ho madda nazar ihtiram Madina. Have in your mind the respect and the honor of Madinatul Munawwara. Think, where are you walking? Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh stayed for so long, he did not relieve himself. He said, how can I relieve myself in Madinatul Munawwara? When he could not take it anymore, he told his friends, let's go out now. And outside of Medina, he went and relieved himself. This is not practical for us. And where are we? Where are those awliya and those lovers and ashiqan of Medina and ashiqan of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But at least some respects. Yeah, we are watching TV all the time. We are watching sports all the time. We are worried of the politics of the world. What respect? People are smoking, throwing the cigarette butts where they want to. We are talking on the phone. Our language is not under control. Our gazes are not in control. Right next to Madina, next to Rauza-e Mubarak, and the respected daughters of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole ummah's daughters are the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We throwing evil glances at them also while we are there also. So a person has to go prepare. Then he will get this great benefit. So one of the very great necessities in order to benefit, to have the respect of Madinatul Munawwara at every step when we are there. And when a person will have that, then see what enjoyments. Just the name, Medina, 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 Medina. Medina, the name will put you into a trance. Like Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, what a great ashik of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one poem, Hazrat says, Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai. The name of Allah is so beautiful. How beloved is the name of Allah. But today, we don't get enjoyment in our zikr. We don't get time for our zikr. Then where is the question of concentration and devotion? We don't know who Allah Ta'ala is. I usually say at this juncture, if there's a young boy, 20, 22 years old, marriageable age, His mother's name is Fatima, sister, auntie. He doesn't get enjoyment in the name of Fatima. But now he's got engaged to a girl whose name is Fatima. Now, just thinking of her and the name Fatima, his fiancée is going to be getting married to her. He'll go to Qarisaf also and he says, teach me the proper Makhraj pronunciation of Ta. I can't say Fatima, I can't say Fatim, Fatli, Fatu. And if anyone say that, he gets cross. He tells his sister, how can you say that? You must say it. And he can't fall asleep at night. He's just thinking, Fatima, Fatima. He goes in a trance just by the name of Fatima. And when he'll get delivery of Fatima, then that night, perhaps for a month, 2 weeks, he didn't sleep preparing for his wedding. She didn't sleep the whole night. She went for hairdressing. And what hairdressing? They blow her hair all upside down and put some perm in it. Now, they spend so much money for that, she could just stand outside in the wind or in front of the fan and just spray some perm. And it's the same thing. But now, she tells last night, did you ever hear the wife telling the husband, last night I didn't sleep, I just sat on the chair and slept. So tonight, let's forget everything, let us have a nice sleep. Or the husband says, 2 weeks, 1 month, I was so much in cross preparing my clothes, the wedding, the guests, everything. Tonight just let us have an early night. They don't know where the night went. And of course, unfortunately, when Fajr Azan goes, then all that sleep comes suddenly. And then the Fajr is also missed. And there is a different story that first night, how he loved Fatima, dies for that night. But after 6 months, after 6 weeks, he fights like cats and dogs with poor Fatima. So just the name Fatima gives you the creator of millions of Fatimas and millions of Khadijas and Aishas. What is the position of the love of Allah? And who Allah loves the greatest in the world, whom Allah chose to be His Habib. ثُمَّ اصْطَفَاهُ حَبِيبًا Ya Bari and Nisami, Allah chose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as His beloved. So what is the position? So a person, just the name Medina will put a person in a trance. Nowadays, if we have to go for operation, Allah save us all, they put anesthetic, chloroform, whatever they do. But in those days, there were so many buzurgs that no anesthetics. They say, and they had their form of, and they were. But they say, just I'll make zikr, you carry on. And the people were shocked that what operations they did, and the patient didn't feel any pain. But today in our namaz, one mosquito is enough for us, that our namaz, one fly makes us dance in our namaz. What way is our concentration? So if we get that enjoyment, that attachment, then the name Medina, 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 bara lutf deta hai naam e Medina. Nigahon mein sultaniyat hej hogi. And when a person realizes this, then the kingdoms of the world will be zero in that person's eyes. Today the things of this dunya, our sports, my tech is my torn jeans, have got so much value. My half socks have got so much value. If a person had, when this kafir will come in a person, then the kingdoms of the world will just fall from your eyes. The minute a person gets love of Allah, love of Quran Sharif, love of Deen, dunya will not mean a thing in his eyes. All the sports and all this entertainment and brand names and fashion, a hatred will really grow for this thing. That unfortunately, which our young women and our young boys, the love they have, and even grown-up people today, just develop the love of Allah and see a hatred will come for the things of the enemies of Islam, the things of the West, a hatred will go. Today we can't stay without the junk food. We call it junk food, we can't stay without it. Really the true enjoyment is in simplicity. Simplicity in lifestyle, simplicity in dressing, simplicity in food. There is great attraction and beauty in that. And how much a person's iman grows, then he realizes it for himself. Nobody has to convince you and force you and tell you anything. It will, you just make this, get this iman, the love of Allah, the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jo paayega dil mein bayame Medina. A person who will find the message of Allah, not in kitabs, not in writing an exam paper and getting 100, not in making big lectures, but who finds that love in his heart. Who gets the message of Medina, the message of Deen in his heart, when it enters his heart. Today, when, as I'm speaking, those words don't reach any person immediately. Even a split second, a few seconds it goes, then it reaches. Then it goes to the mind, and from the mind to let it sink into the heart takes a long, long time. And if it sinks in the heart, then the battle is won. The whole world's battle will be over if these messages sink into just our hearts. Who are sitting here, if it just sinks into 5-10 people's hearts, this message, the battle of the world will be won. And everything will be over, Islam will flourish. But it's just in our ear, it's in the air, it's on our ears, our minds, for it to come into the heart. May Allah bless us with that reality. There is a different thing in our khushfahmi, in our dream world, that it is in my heart, how I love Medina and how I love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But most of us are in a dream world, in a picture world, in an artificial world. Like you have artificial flowers, you make yourself happy that I got this so beautiful flowers, etc. You got a fish pond and with some pumping the water for what a beautiful, all artificial things. And that is enough today to behlawa the heart, to make us happy. Reality is something else. We can't go to the waterfalls or the natural waterfalls. We made the small waterfalls in the yard. And we are happy in the garden, that small little waterfall. All artificial things. And we make ourselves happy. Sukoon jahan tum kahan dhoondte ho. Further, Hazrat spells it out even more. Where are you looking for the peace of mind and comfort of the heart? In the whole world, where are you looking for it? In your money, in your business, in your car, in your sports, in your politics? Are you looking for it in Hollywood, in Bollywood, in Las Vegas? Where are you looking for it? If you want peace of mind and contentment of heart, sukoon jahan hai nizam Medina. What a beautiful, how Hazrat has explained it. Not only Medina, but nizam Medina, the system of Medina of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As ulama have explained, a person is thirsty, he wants water, and he goes out on the road to look for water. He's out of the city, out in the jungle, desert. He sees a miraj, a sarab, thing that looks like water there. When he comes there, he finds that it is nothing. It wasn't water. Now he sees it further again. He goes there and his thirst is increasing. He's becoming desperate. And wherever he reaches, there is no water. He can go till the horizon. The horizon is the place where we see the sky and the earth meet. When he reaches there, no sky and earth is meeting. Can go around the world 10 times, no sky and earth will meet. Your needs will never be satisfied. That I'm earning 5,000, if just 500 more I get, my needs will be satisfied. Never. For a month maybe you find some relief, then again you are short. Wherever you are, your position in your company, where I reach, if I get that post, then it doesn't work like that. Whatever, I got this, if I got that, if I get this, if I got that, it never ever, if you want, that person from out of the jungle must come back to the city. And one tap he'll open, he'll get as much water as he wants to. The city that you have to go back to find the peace of mind and comfort of heart which we have lost is the city of Medina. And we don't have to progress, go front. Our progress is going back 1400 years. How much more we go back 1400 years, so much more we will progress. One great buzurg used to sell roti, make roti and sell. And yesterday's stale roti, he should sell for 2 paisa, 2 cents. And today's fresh roti for 1 cent. So people ask, how come? So he says, yesterday's roti is more valuable. It's more closer to the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What will we think? We don't look at all that fresh roti. Today's roti and cheaper 1 cent. That is what we're going to buy. But the person who's got value of the time and of the city and of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is more closer to that? Yes, a vintage car, you will pay so much more. Old car, that you'll pay more. That you for your this year's new car, that you're not worried. Old car. But for the sunnahs and the tariqah of that life, let me throw it overboard. Then we want modern things, the things of this world. So that those are the things that have got great value, the things that were of that time. So a person, the more he goes back, that is where he's going to find this peace of mind and contentment of heart. A poor man who was living in a little tin shanty, and he had only one gold coin as his asset. He lost it. He started looking for it outside on the street where the street lamp was. Bright light. He couldn't find it. A friend went past. What's wrong, my friend? I lost my only asset of my life, my gold coin. So he said, pitied him. Let me help you look for it. Look, look, look. Couldn't find it. And which is common psychology, where you lost it. So he said, I lost it in my tin shanty. In my heart. And why are you looking for it? Yeah. He said, I got no lights in my tin shanty. He has a very bright light. You can look for it in those bright lights till the cows go home. You can't find it there. In that tin shanty with a little candle, or no candle also, just moving your hand around in the dark, hopefully you'll, because you lost it there. Today we have lost our peace of mind and contentment of heart when we divorced ourselves from our deen. And now Western way of life, dunya people's way, our culture, our way of doing things, my thinking, my way that we have, you haven't lost you can't find it there. You can go to nightclubs, you can go to casinos, you can drink as much alcohol as you want to, you can have drugs as much as you want to. All those things will never give you that peace of mind. If you want it, come to the house of Allah. Come to the masjid, come to Nizam in Medina. Come to the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His sunnat way of life. And his beauty, and read salawat, durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will spur us on. Really, these are not just words. Think of them. Just start reading 10 times a day durood. I promise you. Read 10 times, you'll see you are moving towards sunnat lifestyle. You are moving towards peace of mind. You are moving towards contentment of heart. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ Allah will give you everything. Durood Sharif is such a prescription. It will draw the whole of deen. How much deen you got, so much dunya you will have. The Sahaba, they didn't work for dunya. They worked for deen. Dunya Allah gave to them. You work for deen, Allah will give you your akhirat also. A very easy starting point is salawat on Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if I'm speaking something which you think is rubbish, then ask yourself, today how many durood did I read? Each one ask us. Did I read one time even durood today? Hey, yesterday was Friday, how many durood did I read? And durood is a special ibadat of Friday. How much did we read? And for the smallest excuse, we miss our ma'mullah, our tilawat. Who of us read Yasin Sharif today? Who of us read a few pages of Quran Sharif, one or two rukus even? We are very weak in all this. We have udos, I'm addressing the crowd that is here, not those people who haven't even heard about the masjid and the program here tonight. Who haven't come, we don't know where they are and in which world they are. But we who are here, most of us, that we got our topi, beard, kurta, I'm all right. I'm in sunnah. But my heart, where is my heart in sunnah? My whole lifestyle, where is it? What I cherish in my life. How many alimas write and they say that I'm an alima, I've studied, but I love those women whose, and I wish I was like those women whose handbag is dangling from their shoulders, who got a cell phone on their ear, the car keys in their hands, and the sunglasses. We cherish that way of life. We became animals. We are animals, but we still love that way of life. How can then we get this enjoyment from the dil? Jo dil se paaye peghami Madina, the way of Madina, when it comes into our hearts, that is what is required. Having a picture of Deen is not Deen. Little children, when they go to the pre-primary, kindergarten, Montessori, all that, they give them pictures to color in. So they give them a lion's picture, you must color in. Small children, so what they do, for example, take a knife and poke it in the eyes of the lion and say, you see how brave I am. I even gouged out the eyes of the lion. Take a scissor and cut the tail of the lion. But that's a picture. What can a picture do? Very, very sadly, whether we like it or not, most of us are picture Muslims. And that is why the drinkers of wine and the eaters of swine, how they are treating us. They can't lift their eyes to a mu'min. If a person is a mu'min, all kufr in the world can't even lift their eyes towards them. But we are pictures of Iman, or pictures of Islam. That reality is not in our hands. Next is a lion that is in a zoo. It is in a cage. It's a loving lion. It's written they don't interfere with the animals, with the lion. But children are children. Take a stone and throw it. I'm so brave. I'm right here by the lion. See, the lion can't do me anything. Take a stick and push it at the lion. But when one lion is in the jungle, try and interfere with that lion. Who, that is a free lion. Today, if we can bring that Iman into us, that was one Khalid ibn Walid who turned the world upside down. One Umar ibn al-Khattab, one Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ayan Qusuddin wa Abu Bakr Hay. One man, they changed the world. And we have those examples in our time. Hazrat Mawlana Hussein Ahmad Madani rahmatullah alayh, one man, and the whole of the subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Burma, all these countries together, he saved the Islam and Muslims of those places. Otherwise, those countries should have been another Spain. But one man's Iman, this reality of Iman, هَاُولَاءِ آبَاءِ هَاُولَاءِ آبَاءِ فَجِئْنِي بِمِثْلِي. These are my honorable great forefathers. Show me somebody like that. These people are existing. Hadrat Mawlana Qasim Nanotvi rahmatullah alayh, Qasimul Ulum wal Khairat. Allahu Akbar. What a great man. So that is what the world needs. Not the picture of these things here. Not big lectures. Not big write-ups of all this. But that would, and that is what is Deen. Deen is not the knowledge of Deen. Deen is not the effort of Deen. Deen is not buildings of Deen. Deen is a practical living thing which is in you. And not only the outward form of that thing like namaz, but when namaz is in your heart. How long? 50 years we are making namaz, but till today we haven't put our heart down in front of Allah. 50 years we are making namaz, we put our head down, but we haven't put our brains down and surrendered them to Allah Ta'ala. That reality has to come. That is the department of what is called tasawwuf and khanqa, becoming bay'at, and in its reality, not just in its outward form. As one friend of ours said, bay'at hote hain aur baith jaate hain. We become bay'at and we sit down. Suluk means to walk. Tread the path to Allah. Not just you took admission and you sat down. No, that won't give you the reality. You go with your big shopping list. You enter the shopping mall and you just sit there. I came to the shopping mall, my shopping is done. No, you'll have to go inside, look for your things, pay for it, carry it and all that. Then you're shopping. Not just that I got my list and I entered the shopping mall. No, this whole thing, once we become bad, travels the spark towards Allah Ta'ala. And when a person reaches this, Hazrat says, the poetic form the person uses is on, but it is on behalf of us all, that a person will be free of the worries, anxieties, tension, pressure of this world. Who? Jo ho jaye dil se. Again, see how Hazrat has chosen his words by the fazl of Allah. That person who by his heart becomes the slave of Medina. If you spend your whole life in Medina, but your interests are outside Medina, your interests are things besides Medina Sharif, your whole life, 10 lives you can spend, what's it going to bring you? You can be outside Medina Sharif. You can be in Johannesburg, you can be in Durban, Cape Town, any part of the world you can be. But you're in your heart, you got that life of Medina, Allah will make you shine. Nabiya Kareem, Allahu Akbar. So Sayyidina Mu'adh, radiyallahu ta'ala, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he was sending him as a governor to Yemen, and the parting advices, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I think, O Mu'adh, that when you come next time, you will not find me. You will pass by my masjid, you will pass by my qabr. How Hazrat Mu'adh cried at that time. And the Nabi started crying. And to try and control the situation, Nabi looked in the other direction. Because when you see one another crying, it increases. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna awla nasa bi al-muhtaqoon. The most closest people to me are those who have got taqwa. Man hum, ayna hum, wherever, whoever it can be, wherever they can be, O kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. So that is a person who can be far physically from Madinatul Munawwara, but in your heart you got Nizami Medina. You love and cherish that way of life. May Allah bless us with these realities, inshaAllah. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has said very many poems with regard to the importance, the benefit and necessity of Sunnah. One beautiful poem which Hazrat has said, and I was very surprised pleasantly, many places in different parts of the world, that how Allah Ta'ala had made that poem famous. And Allah's Nizam also works very, very strange. Jigar Muradabadi, he was an alcoholic, used to his bottle. In Muradabad was Khaja Azizul Hasan Sa Madzub Rahmatullah Ali, and he was a big politician. He was serving the British government when the British were ruling India. And he had such a position when millions of people in the world had not seen a motor car. He was given a chauffeur-driven motor car by the government. So you can imagine what a position he had. Such a man who was, now what kind of a life? But when he came in contact with Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali, then such a man, how his condition changed. Such condition that when Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahib, Maulana Masihullah Khan, all the great Khulafa of Maulana Thanwi, when they were gathered and Khaja Sahib is present, nobody spoke a word. Khaja Sahib is the speaker. Only he would speak. Such a position. So Jigar Muradabadi saw his condition, how it had changed. So he told him, take me also to Thana Bhavan. That my condition also changed like this. His time of Hidayat had come from Allah. And he knew for Hidayat we have to go to the Markaz of Hidayat. Those whom Allah has chosen in order to guide people. So he said, and he knew his drinking habit also. So he said, I'll get permission first. So he asked Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana asked, what did you tell him? I said, I'll get him. He said, Khaja Sahib, don't you know me? That we are haris, harisun alaikum. That how people can get hidayah. He can't keep his bottle in the khanka. It's a public place. He can keep it at home, and when he wants to, he can go and drink quietly. So there's no problem, but tell him to come. When he came and he stayed, Allah changed his life. Then he asked for 3 duas. One is, he didn't have a beard, that I must keep a beard. I must go for Hajj. And my Khatima must come on Iman. So Allah blessed him. He went for Hajj. And when he went for Hajj, there was not those days where everywhere there are mirrors. No bathrooms like we had to have got today. Shower rooms and all that. Over. And that Hajj wasn't 3 weeks Hajj. 6 months. His beard had grown in that period. And when he came to Bombay, then he saw himself in a mirror, and he got such a pleasant surprise. And he said that shayad wo kafir bhi musalman ho gaya. So he called himself a non-believer in his way, that that person who was like a kafir, I think he also today has become a mu'min. His beard has grown. And then he said a poem there, this poem he said in more detail. When he went to Muradabad, the rickshaw driver, he sat in the rickshaw and he was singing this poem. He got a shock that nobody knew this poem. How did, but when Allah wants to make a thing known, how Allah Ta'ala spreads it in the whole world. And his end came also most beautiful. Last 3 days, only tawbah, istighfar. And in that way he passed away. Allahu Akbar. And Allah shows the pictures nowadays also. Our good friend, Maulana Ahmad Sida, rahmatullah alayh, passed away 2-3 months ago. Four months now. Yeah, just over 4 months. And 15-20 minutes before he passed away, reading Kalima-i Shahadat loudly, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la, 15-20 minutes, not one time, not whispering just Kalima, Kalima-i Shahadat. And then he lifted his hands and he said that, where are you people going? Take me with. So his mother told something, so he says, Mummy, they're not speaking to you, they're speaking to me. And then he passed away. So, but more like that. Eh? So Allah bless us with that. So Hazrat has said this beautiful poem, which many places I was surprised how Allah has made it famous. Naqsh-e qadam, Nabi ke sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hai jannat ke raaste. Allah jalla jalaluhu se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. Naqsh-e qadam, Nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. So a person who follows sunnat will get jannat also. A person who will follow sunnat will get Allah also. May Allah make us realize this. Just follow sunnat. And sunnat, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, sunnat ka tarasta ashal tariqa. The easiest way, whatever you want to do. Get married according to sunnat. No big expense, no big preparation. And the greatest barakat on it. Sunnat ka rasta ajmal tariqa hai. Sunnat way is the most beautiful way. The greatest attraction in anything is in the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sunnat ka rasta akmal tariqa is the most perfect, the most idealistic way. Whatever a person wants to do, the perfect way, it is doing it the sunnat way. So may Allah bless us to bring sunnah. We will get eventually jannat also. And in this world, when Allah is ours, our world will be jannatiya. You'll get a life of jannatiya. So sunnahs are, and one of the trademarks, one of the specialities and unique features of ulama-i Diyoban is ittiba'i sunnah. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib rahmatullah alayh, in his unique way of tarbiyah, used to explain. One time he told us, I used to think that Hazrat likes to say stories, and we like to hear stories. But much later, when I got some maturity, I realized that how Hazrat was making our tarbiyah in one thing that he used to tell us. So Hazrat explained, one alim was invited by his friend. Most probably it was to South India to lay a foundation stone for his house. They were friends, he accepted. He told a young alim, I would like you to come with me. And in that, ittiba'i sunnat, don't travel alone. Have a ittiba'i sunnat. When they started the journey, he made that young alim the amir. Again, ittiba'i sunnat. Every step how they had sunnat. They were traveling by train, very long journey. At night they were sleeping in the train, tahajjud time came, and that young alim told, tahajjud is not faraz, and you on safar, not faraz, less faraz, less it's, you on safar is even more gunjaish, permission not to make your tahajjud. Then the alim who whole life made tahajjud, how could he miss his tahajjud? So he got up and started pressing the legs of that young alim, and told him, please give me permission. So in his sweet sleep, young man, so he said, go do what you want to, let me sleep. So he made his tahajjud also. When they reached there, and now he said, he told that young alim, I brought you, because I'm an old man now, and to go down in the foundation, to put the brick there or whatever. I won't manage, I want you to do it. But when they got there, he did it himself. So that young alim questioned, why you brought me for this purpose and now you did it yourself? Just see these people. He said, my life is now almost at its end. If I have to fall, get hurt, die, I finish my... You still a young man. You still have to do a lot of work of deen. Then that person gave some hadiah, present, to this great alim. He shared it with his young alim. And he said, it comes in the hadith, al-hadaya mushtarakah. A present you must share with your friends. So how ulama-i Diyoban, one sunnah, they keep it in mind. And that is what attracts the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. The ayat of the Quran Sharif I've recited. Last night also we spoke on a different aspect on that ayat in isolation. Today we will try and speak about it as far as rabt-e ayat are concerned. Connection of the ayats, one that has with the other. And rabt-e surah, that is the connection of surahs that they've got with one another. For example, in Surah Fatiha we read, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Oh Allah, show me the straight path. So Allah Ta'ala responds, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. You wanted the straight path? This is the whole kitab. That is the straight path which you wanted. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Not the path of those people who have gone astray, which refers to the Jews. So the first surah, Surah Baqarah, the Jews who worship this the cow. And in the whole half of the first surah is almost everywhere, Ya Bani Israel, Ya Bani Israel. So not their path. Allah exposed them, not their path. Then, Walabbalin, not those people who have gone astray, Ali Imran, the people of the Christians, not their path. Another thing that makes people go astray, after that is Suratun Nisa. Women, they make people go astray. So Allah, let us not go astray by that. The next thing after that, Maida, the table, the Starkhan, food makes people go astray. So Allah save us from that also. Next surah after that, An'am, animals today, cars, vehicles, those luxuries, comforts of this. So the whole Quran is connected. And when a person realizes that, Allama Qusayri says, Laha ma'ani ka mawjil bahri fi madadin. The Quran Sharif has got meanings like the waves of the sea. How the one wave pushes the next wave. And when they go back, the one wave pushes the next wave. Like that, the Quran, one ayat has got connection with the next ayat. One surah has got connection. And when you understand that, a joy in your heart, which nothing in this world can give you such joy. You sort of, your heart leaps out of your body. Such, when you catch it, and the more our iman increases and you read Quran, the more Allah opens. And you, Allahu Akbar. One time our sheikh was making khidmat of his sheikh in Phulpur, small jungle, like what we'll call farm someplace, where no masjid also, small little masjid, no town, no nothing. Anyway, Hazrat was washing the clothes of his sheikh at a small little tala, small tank there. And his sheikh came running out. And he said, Hakim Akhtar, ilmi azeeb atahua. Allah has blessed me just now with fresh knowledge of the Quran Sharif. Great, great alim. How many times he must have read. But the more you read Quran and your kafiyat of iman is grown, Allah opens new things for you. Allahu Akbar. Our sheikh says, like hot jalebi just from the frying pan. What is hot fresh jalebi compared to this ulum which Allah has filled in the Quran, and Allah will keep on opening till the day of Qiyamah. لَهَا مَعَانٍ كَمَوْجِ الْبَحْرِ فِي مَدَرِ وَفَوْقَ جَوْهَرِهِ فِي الْحُسْنِ وَالْقِيَمِ. More better than the pearls of the sea in beauty and in value also. So, Maulana Phulpuri rahmatullah alayhi said, Allah just gave me one great new knowledge now. That why does Allah forgive His creation just without any limit? Allah just forgives. Why? For because Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorul Wadood. Wadood, isme mubalagha also. Ghafoor also isme mubalagha. Allah loves His creation There is no limit to the love. And who you love, you just forgive all. Wholesale you forgive. If there is genuine love between husband and wife, there is no real problem. If there is love, you'll just forgive one another. You'll get sad, you'll fight a little bit, but you'll forgive. That is what love is. So Allah has got that excess of love for His creation. Therefore, just on small, on one pretext. Allah says, cry and make du'as before more forgiveness. If you can't cry, Allah says, just make your face like a crying person. And you just put a mask like you are crying. Allah says, I know, I told you, I know you're not crying. But that is also enough. How much Allah loves His creation. So this ulum Allah Ta'ala gives. So the Rabb-e Ayat. So this is an ayat of Suratul Ahzab. Of the Battle of Trench in there. And if we go and see really outwardly, you don't see any connection. Between the ayats, you don't see any connection. But when you realize the connection, your heart jumps. Meters high it goes. What enjoyment. Very briefly, there were the Jews in Medina Sharif who broke their pledge with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As punishment, they were expelled and exiled from Medina. They went to Khaybar. They made a very strong hold in Khaybar. The Jews became a strong party there. Then one Jew, Manana Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to say, if you see two fish fighting in the sea, know that there is a Jew behind it. He is causing them to fight. So anyway, so these people, they started planning and plotting against the Muslims. They got the mushriks of Makkah ready. They got all the neighboring, what we call today an alliance of the world. They got a whole alliance. And Medina Sharif at that time was more or less the size of Masjid al-Nabawi of today. A small little village it was. And from all four sides they had surrounded Medina Sharif. And it looks like complete just annihilation, destruction. And they came with the sole purpose of annihilating Islam and the Muslims for one and for all, that not one Muslim will be left on the surface of the earth. And we'll go and destroy them. About 20-25 days they laid siege to Medina Sharif in this way. And from all around. And there wasn't Medina, and unannounced they came. No preparation of war. So Medina people could make some preparation. Unannounced they came. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashura with all the people. What must we do? We can't fight them. We are too material outwardly. We are too small in number. Hazrat Salman Farisi rahmatullah radiyallahu ta'ala, and there is a great lesson for us to learn here also. That he suggested, he said, we in Faris, Persia, when we were faced with such a condition, we should dig a trench around our place. And in those fighting days was one on one. With your sword you attack the other person. So when the trench will be built, they can't cross. So they won't be fighting. In this way we can save ourselves. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted this mashura, which was not an original Islamic thing. It was a Persian thing. And this is left to the ulama and the responsible ulama to decide when to accept. And we should accept this when there is some benefit for us. Today our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi says, one white man, British man, when the British were ruling India, his train was departing. So he took the cup and threw the tea in the saucer and then he drank. He says, my Hindustani brother, just because a white man did it, now he also always pouring his tea in the plate and drinking. If it's a necessity for you, then do it. How many of us, I hope I don't digress too much, we wear vests. So why are we wearing? Is it sunnah to wear vest? Why are we wearing it? Just because we see other people wear. If you wear it because that the vest absorbs the sweat, then it is worthwhile. But also many must be remembering there was that fashion of fishnet vest. And everyone started wearing fishnet and big those holes. So it doesn't serve the purpose at all. And the major portion a person perspires in his body is his upper body. That is, so you wear the vest there. So wear it with that niyyah. And then in your upper body, the most perspiration is your armpits. So wear a vest that has got short sleeves, at least for summer. If you're wearing a vest without sleeves, the purpose is not fulfilled. So if we do anything, see why. Not just because. When we were studying in Mia's farm, one of the administrators was a very simple, straightforward man. He says, I don't wear brief and jockey. He says, I don't put my bird in a cage. So, and today if you go and see that mothers, the 1-month-old child boy also got a brief. What is the purpose? Now, does the small 1-year-old need it? But we're just copying them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my ummah will follow these non-Muslims just as a lizard, a snake goes to its hole. We will also follow like that. We put today plastic flowers in the toilet on the system. And we put this toilet on our couches. What is the work of that toilet? Job opportunity. All the time they're falling down, you put it up. Like some countries, there is no, the people haven't got job. So they tell them, one group of people, one day dig the hole, the other group go and fill the hole. So this toilet is there. Those mats in our bathroom, which are loose, and you always slipping on them. But because they got that mats, we must also have that. So that is the height of stupidity, just following them. So when there is something of necessity and of benefit, and ulama'i rasikhin accept it, then it's quite in order. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted the building of the trench. And it was such a great job. Day and night they worked. 5 namazes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became qaza also on that occasion. How they had to work to build that trench. Such boldness came in the way where they called Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam to come in, break those boldness. Huzur Allah's Nabi. And this is another sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another subject which we just can't go into now. How Allah had made the bodies, physical bodies, the best of the hearts of the people of the world. The heart's material is very, very delicate. With that Allah has made the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. What delicate bodies they had. Such Allah, and the greatest Imamul Anbiya has to take an axe and has to hit on that rock. Can we imagine? Just keep all these things in our mind. And then again another very interesting point. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hitting with the axe. Sparks fly off. And I see the palaces of Persia getting, Muslims are capturing them. I see Rome is being captured by the Muslims. Ideal occasion for the munafiqeen and the hypocrites and people of weak iman. They said, look at him. Yet the 5 namazes are getting qaza. And they are fastening stones to their bellies. Sahaba complained of their hunger, no food to eat, and hard labor like this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted up his kurta and he showed 2 stones fastened to his stomach. What conditions they were going through. Anyway, finally, they laid siege for 20. Then also, the people or the munafiqeen of the Jews who had made an agreement with Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. If anyone attacks Medina Sharif, we will help to fight that to the enemy. They went and closed themselves, those who were still left in Medina, in one of their castles, they locked themselves up. The munafiqeen, they said, our families are not safe at home. We have to return back home. They made excuses. They went away. The people of weak iman were also overtaken. And the condition was that eyeballs were rolling. You could see mort in front of you. A handful of people and a whole alliance that has come with the intention of destroying you. After about 20-25 days, Allah sent such a wind that only came on them, not in Medina Sharif. And he picked up the stones and the stones were hitting up against them, smiting them, their faces, their back. They couldn't turn this way, they couldn't turn that way. Their tents were blown down, everything, all started shouting that we have to now run, run, leave, leave, return, return. By night, there was this fear. By the morning, everything was gone. So with regard to that, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ashihatan alaykum. They've got very bad intentions with regard to you. This means munafiqeen. And the hypocrites. And what a hypocrite. Who is a hypocrite? He's what you dress like you, makes namaz what you, everything. But his heart is not in Islam. His heart is against you. And very sadly today, hypocrisy, nifaq has become very common. How many of us we meet one, oh, mashallah, so nice. But in the heart, a person has got daggers of hatred. And if he can kill that person, he'll kill that person. How many of us, a phone call comes late at night, or somebody comes to your house, awkward hour, and you get angry, who is this? Takes the time to come visit. But when you, and you people, so you know who is he, and what remarks you pass. But when you open the door, what a broad smile. We were waiting for you. How long are we waiting? You haven't come. Hey, so this nifaq, that is that nifaq, which unfortunately has become very common in us. Yeah, that's why Allah warned us in the Quran that in us this nifaq. Now judge ourselves, don't judge anyone else. When we were reading the hadith, Ayatul Munafiq Thalat, there are three signs of a hypocrite. Our Ustad Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told, anyone who thinks now of somebody else that the signs are in him, that person sitting in Bukhari Sharif will destroy himself. And a person who thinks about himself, are these signs in me? That person will benefit from those of Bukhari Sharif. But when our minds go to somebody else, yeah, that person is like that. He always fights when he's got a difference of opinion. He always swears, he's vulgar, he lies. You think of somebody else sitting in a bayan in the masjid, and that person is maybe where? But you are destroying yourself when you thinking of, think about yourself. A person, and many of our satis, Allah reward them. After a bayan, they say, come, that whole bayan was for me today. And they are unfortunately those that you were hinting at me. They don't like it. But those who take it for themselves, they are the ones who benefit. Those who take the Quran, it's a guide for me. And those who take it, it's a guide for somebody else. How can they benefit? Eh? So those who take it for themselves. So these munafiqeen, this was, they've got their daggers and arrows of hatred for you in their eyes and in their heart. Ashihatan alaykum. Fa'idha ja'a al-khawf, when these fearful conditions came. Fa'idha ja'a al-khawf, ra'aytuhum yanzuruna ilayk. You see them, just madad karna. You see them looking at you, like for example, you went in Jama'at, Amir Sahib made a decision, things went wrong. Now you look at Amir Sahib, you made this decision. Or somebody else may gave a right, you gave this right. When things go wrong outwardly, then you have objection. So this is the condition of the munafiqeen. That you brought Islam to Medina, you destroyed us. Yeah, you have put us in destruction. The whole world is against us. What is going to happen to us now? So that is one condition of a munafiq. That when things go wrong in the madrasa, in the masjid, the committee, we made a decision and outwardly the thing has gone wrong. Now you look at that person with a bad eye. So they looked at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you came to Medina, you brought problems for us. How many of us that you told us to wear burqa, you told us to wear kurta, beard, so I didn't get my job. Maulana made bayan on beard, you must keep beard, I kept a beard, they fired me. Now you look at what kind of Maulana is this? I lost my rosy. Maulana said insurance is haram. Now you cancelled your insurance. There you met up with an accident. Oh Maulana, you see, you told me this. So that, no. What are the principles of Islam? What heart and soul devote yourself. And check ourselves in that was the battlefield there. But that is a springboard, the Quran Sharif, for every occasion in our life. Whatever Allah's commands are, accept them wholeheartedly. Don't put the blame on Islam. Don't put the blame on the on Hadith, on the ulama. How many of our good friends also, when they want, we are not prepared to accept this the responsibility ourselves. We want it to be done in the house. Then we say, Hazrat said this. And we are saying it, but we say, Hazrat said this. So the responsibility, put the blame on Hazrat. And we are still very good. We know we are not forcing you for this. We are not forcing you for that. What hasn't it told? Now we have to do that. So that is not the way of a true believer. It's Islam's command. If you are part of it, 100% you are behind it. Don't put the blame on somebody else. فَإِذَا جَاءَ الْخَوْفُ رَأَيْتُهُمْ يَنْزُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ تَدُورُ أَعْيُنُهُمْ كَأَنَّمَا يُخْشَى مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. You see the eyeballs turning as if mort is coming. Hey, that was now in that, I explained that better. Imagine how they felt. Hey, what was their condition? How fearful conditions they were from all sides. That is how they felt. Today we, for medical aid, for insurance, for anything also, we see mort come. If I don't take out this insurance policy, if I don't do that, if I don't do that, if I dress Islamically, if I live my life according to sunnah, what the people, they think there is a whole backward person, a fanatic, and he's an extremist, etc. We can't take all that. A true believer accepts all this. كَانَّمَا يُخْشَ عَلِمِ الْمَوْتِ فَإِلَّا ذَهَبَ الْخَوْفِ. And when that fear is gone now, then سَلَقُوكُمْ بِأَلْسِنَةٍ حِدَادٍ أَشِّحَةً الْقِيْ. Then you see their tongues, how their tongues talk. You know me, I should have done that. When that fear is gone now, I should have done this, I should have done that. Somebody else gave a bayan. Oh, if I gave a bayan, you should see what a bayan I should give. Somebody else read qiraat. If I read qiraat, you should see what I have done. And this applies today. How many of us, social gatherings, things are happening, my own children, my grandchildren, immediate family, I can't speak. And what we say, that I wanted to say, but I thought there would be fire trouble, so I kept quiet. A person, if there was a fire and going to burn your little child, and you say that if I would have said that if you beware of that fire, then there should be fighting. You'll speak. So the extent of your iman, you won't be able to keep quiet. This is a sign of weakness of iman, or it is a sign of hypocrisy. That, and then what we tell, Maulana, please speak of this Friday. And don't say I say. With your phone to Maulana also, speak to my wife, speak to my husband, but don't say I phoned also. This is all clear signs of weakness of iman, or perhaps even hypocrisy. A person who has got iman, he will speak himself in a suitable way. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be even diplomatic. You need hikmat. And how to say the right thing at the right time to the right person, you need sohbat of Ahlullah. You won't find that in kitabs. Allahu Akbar. How many occasions by Allah's fazl we saw our sheikh, that what the situation was. One time we were in Madinatul Munawwara, and Hazrat was in Josh speaking on the importance of the beard, etc. Suddenly few people walked in without beards, and Hazrat changed the whole subject. And now, a person who hasn't got understanding, who hasn't got love, he'll say, Hazrat, because they are rich people, prominent people, that's why he changed the subject. Those who stayed with Buzurgs, once, many times we saw in Karachi, top government officials come and visit regularly by Hazrat to take duas, and top government people, and they haven't got beards, big mustaches. Hazrat got that machine ready. And then he tells the khadim, take off his mustache now. So one side there, one to understand mardum shanasi, that who the person is, moka shanasi, who to say, that is important, and that you won't find in any kitab. When to say, what to say, when not to say something. Imagine also, on a different little note, to speak the truth is even haram in Islam at times. How is the speaking the truth haram? Making ghibat of somebody. Ghibat is you speaking the truth. If you are lying, that is buhtan. If you are speaking the truth of somebody, but behind his back, and that truth that he won't like, that is ghibat. So to speak the truth on that occasion is haram. So there are certain occasions when you just keep quiet. There are certain occasions when it is haram to keep quiet. So all this a person has to learn, and how this ayat are the springboard for such a great. This is sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you see wrong being done, this is also sunnah, that you stop it. And kullukum ra'in, kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. You see, everyone is responsible for his herd. Whoever does wrong, it is your duty that you must, your wife, whole life you can't tell her. There is a way to tell her. Don't push her away further. She's not in burqa. She's not making namaz. But there is a way to get her. But whole life you can. Your mutawalli, you are the imam sir. Your mutawalli hasn't got a beard. 20 years you in his service. Not one day you had the courage to tell him in a suitable way, in a roundabout way, choosing somebody else to tell him. It didn't appear, it didn't appeal to you, it didn't come to your mind that he's my mutawalli and I have to tell him that beard is for us wajib to keep. You have to keep a beard. But it doesn't appear. Your good friend is a rich man. He's your sponsor and he's doing wrong and you can't tell him. No, that is a sign of nifaq. Not actual nifaq, but it's a sign. You, in a suitable way, in a right way, even if you have to choose 5 people to reach him and give him the message, to make dua at least, that if my mutawalli hasn't got beard, I can't tell him also. But can't I make dua? My best friend, we go fishing together, we go for picnics together. His dressing is not according to Sharia, but whole life I couldn't tell him. My wife, I can't tell her. So we have to work in this way and in the right way with du'as, with giving sadaqah. And a person who's got that proper niyat, Allah will open it for him. So wherever we are, how many wrong things are happening and we just keep quiet, we do nothing. A person of iman won't be able to accept all this. So, what's in front? Ulaika lam yu'minu. Now, these are those people, Allah declares that they haven't got iman. That you see wrong happening in front of you. And this is also sunnah. In the ayat in front, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Take a lesson from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أُولَٰئِكَ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا فَأَحْبَطَ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Allah will destroy their deeds. And many of us, we think, oh, this person whole night's tahajjud. How can it be destroyed? Every nafil rozas is keeping. Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَانَ ذَٰلِكَ اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. For Allah to destroy all the good deeds also, it's not difficult for Allah. Then Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. When in all that fearful condition, how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam remained firm, you could see what your eyes' destruction is in front of you. But at that time, that iman was so strong, Allah's help is there. When Musa alayhi salatu was salam went with all Bani Israel, and Bani Israel told him, Fir'aun with his army behind us, the sea in front of us, you have destroyed us. You have brought us, you have sandwiched us between two destructions. Kalla, inna ma'ayya rabbi sayahdeen. That is that. So Allah is saying, this is also sunnah. Not only the sunnah of asking to eat something sweet, is it sunnah before meals or is it sunnah after meals? Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri rahmatullah, he said, there is no question of that. The Sahaba didn't have food. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three crescents used to pass and the fire wasn't lit in the house. There was no food to eat. What is where the question comes to eat something sweet before or after? So this is also sunnah. And in that Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That you remain firm and strong on the promises of Allah. To build that iman is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is your first faraz to have that iman. You can see destruction. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam is being thrown into the fire. Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikael alayhi salam come and offer their help with the permission of Allah Ta'ala. And his clothes have been taken. They are now going to throw him. He says that, Imma ilayk fala, I don't need your help. My Allah is enough for me. That iman, to build that iman, with your eyes you see your destruction. Open destruction, but your trust on Allah Ta'ala. A gun to your head, that gun may be a blank gun, but you go blank. You don't realize what is happening. At that time, to build this iman. And that also comes only when the sohbat of people who have got, and your niyat is to build them. Your niyat is not to show your face, I'm in the majlis. Your niyat is not that for barakah, or to get some ta'weez, or to get some counseling, or to become a favorite of the shaykh. Your niyat is that iman. That is where you will get that. So, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ. To remain firm like Allah's Rasul. Then Allah gives the example of those who remain firm like that. After that, after the sunnah, and this will come for those people, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهُ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ, who want Allah in the last day. Their object is not to get ta'weez and make more money. Their object is not ta'weez and remove some jadu. Whereas your real jadu is your TV. That is causing you all. Your jadu is your filthy porn you're watching on your internet. And now you're saying somebody is causing problems between me and wife. You yourself are causing that problem. So your object of the taluk with your sheikh is not all these other khariji outside things. But your islah and building akhirat is your need. Pleasure of Allah is your. And that you will get when you do your zikr regularly. Our sheikh, rahmatullah alayhi, on how many occasions? With a hard heart, Hazrat should say, how many times I'm teaching this dua? How many times? But nobody makes amal. Hazrat should recite this so many times. Those who make amal will get. And those who just want to listen, how many of us are regular with our zikr? Ask yourself. Our basic ma'amulat, how many of us are regular? With our zikr, with our tilawat. Very few of us are. Very, very sadly, so sadly, a good mufti who is close to us, when this talks of this nature, he wrote and he informed me, how many of my namazes are qaza? A mufti sahab's namazes are qaza. And now he informed me, I've covered up plenty of my qaza namazes. So if namazes are qaza, then where does tilawat come in? Where does zikr come in? And this is the condition. How many good ladies, alimas, right? We are alimas, we're doing work of deen, we're teaching, but we are totally rotten inside. No love of Islam, and love of the West is with him. But, and these are good signs they are going to get, they have realized. And a person who goes for treatment will inshallah get treatment. But how many of us are sitting with these diseases and we don't speak about it? We just make ourselves happy that I'm quite alright. That person will go to the qabr with their diseases. And then what will happen in the qabr? A person who opens himself and corrects his life. That will, so the Sahaba, Allah explains in the in front. So with zikr this will happen. With zikr Allah kathila. وَلَمَّا رَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. When the believers saw Ahzab, the alliance of, قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ. This we know. Allah and His Rasul told us. So no problem. We knew this is going to happen. The people of Nifaq, eyeballs were turning. People with weak iman, or maut has come. Yusha alim in al maut. And they were frightened, blaming Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, blaming Islam for this condition of. But the people who were iman, the ordinary believers, وَلَمَّا رَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولُ وَمَا زَادُهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. These hard, hard conditions increase their iman. Allah told us it's going to happen. Just like we are told about Dajjal going to come. How many of us know about Dajjal? And what today, all the muqaddamat, introduction of Dajjal is perhaps complete already. And who, it comes in the hadith, when Dajjal will come, believing men will have to tie their woman with chains, otherwise they'll also run after Dajjal. And from when already our minds in nursery classes are already made, the Pied Piper of Hamelin, that when he comes and he blows his bugle and rats and mice, children, everything just flowing out of the houses, this is Dajjal when he will come. Today, how many people feel so guilty that I'm watching porn, but they can't help me? Stay away for a week, gone back to it. How many, how sad now, married men resort to masturbation. If young boys, they're not allowed, it is haram. But that is okay, the man is not married. But married men watching porn and resorting to masturbation. When Dajjal will actually come, Allahu Akbar. Forget the woman. Who is going to get? Today the sports. Good people. 5-time namazi. Every year. Umrah people. Sports taking place. Middle of the night. Commentary we have to watch. All these things. The fashion. Good people. When you normally we meet them in the masjid. MashaAllah, kurta, everything. Sometimes you go to the shop or some, you can't believe it. The t-shirt, the torn jeans the person is wearing, the tech is, I thought he is a 5-time namazi, he is MashaAllah. Always see him with kurta and amama and topi. And now you see him in a complete, this is the condition. So a mu'min, all this, no matter what happens, he remains firm. And he says, I knew all these temptations will come, but he remains. فَمِنُوا مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبُ وَمِنُوا Then the higher grade of believers. There were munafiqeen, Allah described, and the people of weak iman. Yeah, Allah describes the believers and the people of higher level of iman. What's it again? مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ There are those believers. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Rijalun sadaqu ma'ahadullah. Such men, not men of steel, men of Ummah. And what Allah has said, they showed it to me. They proved their quality and their worth of iman. They proved it. This is how we must become. No matter what the odds, the people say, without university education, you are nothing. Without this, you are nothing. Hey, but we, without iman, you are nothing. Without sunnah, you are nothing. And not on our tongues, in our lives. Not in our lives, in our hearts, that conviction must be. مَا أَحَدُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَحَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْوَهُ They are those who completed their mission and they reached Allah. They gave their lives in for Allah Ta'ala. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ And there are others who are still waiting the time. Their time, they are still for وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا They didn't change one bird. Today we are chameleons. When we in the shop, different. We in the masjid, different. Umrah, different. Picnic, different. All the time we are different. When we are with, we're going jamaat, top believers. We're going the khalqa, top of iman and yaqeen. But when we with our business associates, when with our dunya friends, then we change again. Now, the believer, wama baddalu tabdila. Not one but ashariya. Not one fraction, not one atom they change. Not sometimes you talk, now what's going to happen in the world. See how many Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala also explains with the munafiqeen. When the enemy had gone, the Ahzab had left, they still got that fear in them. Today the fear of the enemy is so much that we just fear that if you go to an airport and you dress like a Muslim, you're going to get big problems. We are frightened. Though there is nothing, a doctor friend of ours, Dr. Farooq Hassan, just explained. He had to go to America and he discussed with his wife, what must we do, change our clothes? They decide, no, we're going there. And he says, no problem whatsoever. But the way today, just to take the word Taliban is a problem. They are hearing you. Your cell phone, anywhere you sit, take out the battery. Put your cell phone. What fear they have put into us. You can't take the word jihad today. Fear has set into us. So that is not the way of a mu'min. That he just fears. That is living in fear. If we have the fear of Allah, Allah removes all other fear. When you don't have the fear of Allah, Allah puts in you the fear of everything else. You fear this person, you fear that person. You are living in a fearful state all the time. But just make your iman on Allah and you won't have that fear. So this sunnah I wanted to discuss today. لَقَدْ كَالَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ To remain firm. Sunnah is not only nicely to keep a beard. Conditions are quite comfortable. To eat sweet before and some like double sunnah ada. Before meals also sweet, after meals also sweet. Sunnah is to stay hungry. And small children in the houses of the great pious buzurg people, when food they used to get every day, they used to cry that guest of poverty who visits the house of the righteous and the pious, why hasn't that guest visited us? And today, when is there a time? Whenever we want, there is enough juice in the fridge. There is a samosa in the fridge. There is chutney for you. There are pies for you. Whenever do you even just keep a little bit away, voluntarily. Ramzan, no choice. But voluntarily that we can keep away. Those children used to cry that poverty hasn't come to our house. So this is that sunnah that we also have to develop, to remain firm no matter what conditions, fearful conditions. Whether you took out your insurance, you paid your premium, you cancelled all your insurance, and you took out all your medical aid and everything, your medical insurance, and no matter what the people say, you're a terrorist, you're a fundamentalist, you're an extremist, but you remain firm. This is a great sunnah also. And that sunnah also, if you want the help of Allah, it's not on eating sweet before eating before meals. And eating sweet after meals, bring this sunnah in your life. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And don't change one fraction also. Remain firm. And this is not going to come from wishful thinking. Today, I was given time till 5:00, but I'll just take a little bit more time. See, mashallah. We don't know how to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Many of us have seen, perhaps others haven't seen, when Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah used to come, qafla and qafla with him. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali came, Allahu Akbar. Yeah, in Maritzburg, the police, hey, what honor and respect it bestowed. Blocked all the traffic 5:00 in the afternoon, heavy traffic time, and Hazrat cascade of all his cars went past, etc. When Mufti Mahmood Sahib used to come, so this is also a great thing which Allah in His mercy, with sinners and filthy people like us today, this over 100 students, how many married couples, this qafla, and this is a great thing which is required today. And Allah reward all of you with your open arms, you are welcoming this qafla, and you are feeding them, and you are making us welcome, and we don't have any feeling that you don't like that. This is a great, very necessary thing. And this is, in this field, we need our Darul Ulooms. We need Tabligh Jamaat. The work the Jamaat does, nobody else can do. The work Darul Ulooms do, nobody else. And the Khanqa is also one integral part of our deen. What work they do, nobody else can also do. What the eyes do, the tongue cannot do. What the heart does, the brain cannot do. Every department has got. And if we go in all the departments, then we will be a complete person. So this is also a very great necessary thing. And a person, if he wants this, what we were talking about, it's not going to come from wishful thinking. It's not going to come from an hour's bayan. It will come when we apply ourselves. Diligently we apply, then at least some bit of this Allah in His kindness will give to us also. And then when we get a taste of this, you yourself, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. When you get a taste of this iman, this love of Allah, the love of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, today we haven't got love of Durood Sharif. We don't read. If we read, we don't read it with enjoyment. Hey, Hadrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said, I've seen my buzurgs. When somebody else makes zikr, water comes in their mouth, like when we smell food or something. But today we are so allergic to zikr. A person is allergic when he eats fish, for example. Allergic to fish. He eats nuts, he's allergic to nuts. But today somebody else makes zikr, my head gets sore. And my stomach pains, why is he making zikr? When this is our condition, where are we going to get the enjoyment of Iman and Islam? It comes clearly in the hadith. The love of the zikr of Allah is the sign of the love of Allah. And the dislike of the zikr of Allah is a sign of the dislike of Allah Ta'ala. How many of us don't like this jamaat, people making zikr? They zikr jamaat, they zikr group, and we pass what comments? One person, an alim of another country, told one alim in one country, and who narrated to me, is present also today. He said that, he asked him for advice special. He said, keep away from the zikr people. A person who gives advice like that, what is the condition? Where is the love of Allah? When the hadith says, if you don't like the zikr of Allah, it means you don't like Allah. And if you don't, if you like the zikr of Allah, you like it. So this is that important aspect of deen which has to come alive in every person. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Those brothers, one brother wanted to become bay'at. Inshallah, after namaz, then people can carry on. Who want to sit, can sit. For 5-10 minutes, we'll do the bay'at after the masjid.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inshallah, regarding whatever Hazrat has mentioned now, regarding Islah oneself, next month in Azharul, the Darul Uloom, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, Rabiul Akhir. It is 21st, 22nd and 23rd of February. Inshallah, we'll be having an Iftar Jalsa in the Darul Uloom. Humble request firstly for all brothers to make dua for the success of this Jalsa. And secondly, for all the brothers to participate, to bring as many brothers as possible. Also, regarding this, we will be making, going around as now we are giving da'wah towards it. So especially in the Cape Town area, it is a lot of effort needed for this to come alive and in a correct manner. So those ulama who have prepared to give some time, inshallah they should contact us. Inshallah we will make some program for them to go to Cape Town area and to work in that area.
Malik Bal Patel. Kaim on Malik Bal. See? Yeah, after the message. Malik Iqbal Patel is here, of this side. Read the Durood. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد اللهم آتي نفوسنا تقواها وزكها فأنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ولا تشقنا بمعصيتك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما بقيتنا وارحمنا أن نتكلف ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا وصلى الله على النبي الكريم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.